Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and sending it to overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just a kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
Oh, he breaks. Oh, he's the worst. Red Raider.
Unbelievable.
Red Raider. Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the five, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? What is going on? Welcome into the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay, as always, joined by my main man, Matt Clare, and it's been a quick minute since we've had a good old podcast, so Matt and I figured we'd have one this week, kind of to catch up on everything that's been going on, since it's been a pretty busy 2-3 weeks here for Tech football, Tech recruiting, with the open period, and then also with, I think, 4 commits in the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks or so. So Matt and I just wanted to kind of talk about all that and just kind of where things go from here with recruiting kind of going into the summer. But I guess first off, Matt, how you kind of doing, man?
Doing good, man. You said it. It's been a long time since we've done one of these, and especially with the way recruiting's been, like I said, amped up lately with 4 new commits, kind of doubling the class in the past 2 weeks. Wanted to get on here, maybe re-rack the scene and see where things are currently. We still have spring evaluations going on and a lot of different things.
Yeah, for sure. And it's been, I know you and I both have been busy with it, and it's been kind of crazy how many offers they've sent out in the last, 4 weeks or so, and several of those guys, committing right when they get offered. So I guess, we're going to have Rivals Mid-South analyst Jason Howell on here in a second to talk about that and just kind of what he thinks about the Tech commits. And actually, speaking of the devil, we just got him on the line here. So I guess, first off, Jason, how are you doing tonight, man? And just like we said, wanted to have you on and just kind of talk about these new 4 Texas Tech commits and just kind of what you think about these guys.
Well, I tell you what, they went to some familiar ground. You got to like the pipeline that they've got going to steal. Cox mm-hmm. Wesley is a guy who brings a lot of good size to the table. Really long, athletic wide receiver, under the radar for a lot of people. But if there's one guy who knows what he's getting, it's going to be Mike Jinks, and he's probably pretty familiar not only with Cox Wesley, but his family and just kind of the whole background. So, and may have played a part and keeps him a little under the radar. So, but Bryson Dimley, you're getting another. Really good, fast, quick. Cibolo's still running back there. And the same, he's not quite as big as, Dustin Stockton, but he's in the same vein as far as just what he brings to the table, and a multi-purpose, back known for his ability in open spaces and in the passing game as well. They've really done a good job hitting a lot of the same places and finding guys that maybe are a little under the radar at this point in time in the recruiting process, but guys that they feel like can fit what they do and really make a difference.
Yeah, you know, and this is Matt. Thanks for joining us again, Jason. You hit on a few things. You know, finding guys that are under the radar, finding some guys that, you know, maybe there's some familiarity there. I think as you described, Antoine Cox-Wesley reminded me a lot of Terrence Steele from last year, very under the radar, but a kid that was getting some good value later on in the process, not necessarily here in, you know, the month of May before the senior season. But I guess kind of looking back and talking about some of these kids that are under the radar, I mean, tell us a little bit about going back a few weeks, but tell us what you know about Neiman Armstrong. I know he was at Dallas Carter, and now he's at DeSoto. You know, I know I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but what do you know about him? I mean, he's the only defensive recruit that Tech fans have to talk about right now.
Well, and he's a guy, I want to say when he was at Carter, I want to say he also contributed on the offensive side of the ball, too. So, but he's a great size for a defensive back. And over there in DeSoto, they're always pumping out athletes, and he's definitely one of those guys that fits that bill. He's the guy that can play corner. He can play safety. He's a physical guy, and he uses that size and his athleticism to his advantage. And you know, in the Big 12, you're going to need guys like that. He kind of started to heat up there, right, as Tech was offering him, and they got on him, and, like, you know, they were one of the first schools, if not the first school, to offer him, and were able to get him in the fold before things got too heated this spring. So, definitely brings a lot of athleticism to the field.
Going back to Bryson Denley for just a second, the Tech coaches, I think, are going to take him as an inside receiver. So, yeah, I
okay.
mean, spoke to him kind of as a pass catcher. So, yeah, what do you kind of think about him, you know, specifically as an inside receiver and what he might be able to do as that instead of a running back?
Absolutely. As a slot receiver, you know, he definitely brings a lot to the table. We've got him as an all-purpose back. And
right.
And still offense, he comes out of the backfield a lot, which is why we have him there. But there's a similar skill set that goes along with that slot receiver role as you know, that you get at an all-purpose back, which is kind of why you have, you know, your Kirk Merritts, and where you
right.
have that kind of debate, you know, is he a receiver, is he a running back, and you got schools recruiting him at different positions. But Denley, he's a guy that you want to get the ball to in space. He's going to make guys miss. That first guy is never going to be able to really get a clean shot at him, he's the defense is going to want to bring a couple guys over there to try and you know, contain him, because he can make a couple moves and be gone in a hurry. I could definitely see that in a spread offense where he's a guy they put out there and get out there in a one-on-one situation, or use to run quick routes over the middle and hit on screen passes and things of that nature, where he can take something short and turn it into a long touchdown in a really
right.
hurry.
So we talked about most of the other new commits. I guess the main topic of discussion for Tech fans over the last week was Jett Duffy, and I laughed
yeah.
a little in the guys, because I'm following along on Twitter, and you know, I'm seeing all these updates from various camps, and I think Jett Duffy, Texas, like, why don't I know who that is? So my mind to mind, I immediately go to profiles, and I'm trying to read stories, learn anything I can about the kid. Because I just don't know who he is, and I thought, well, I should, you know, I cover this a lot. I should know these kids in Texas. And, you know, lo and behold, I text Will and Drew, and, you know, it puts it on their radar. I said, you know, this kid might have a little something. Let's keep an eye on him. And the next day he's offered, and then 2 days later he's committed. So, I mean, it's been one after another, you know, with Tech last week, a lot of different directions. But quarterback's a big deal, you know, especially in the recruiting class, especially with school like Tech that does focus a lot on the offense. I mean, what do we know about Jett Duffy right now? And I guess, what are your thoughts on him going into his senior season?
Well, the impressions I got from just watching the offers that were going out from Tech was they were really looking for a dual threat quarterback. And they definitely got him one. Duffy is a guy that's real dangerous with his feet. He has the potential to really, you know, to hit that seam on that zone read and take it right through the middle of the defense, or hit the outside and get the corner and hit the sideline. He also does a good job of getting the ball out quick and accurately. Now the thing about him is he's not your ideal size. He's a smaller guy. He's got a thin frame to him. But he brings a lot to the table in terms of athletic ability. He's a guy that can, you know, I could definitely see him getting up there and Kingsbury really being able to turn him into a pretty good quarterback and make a successful go at it. He's a guy that I could definitely see fitting in there. He wasn't one of these super highly recruited guys. He was starting to turn some heads in the spring, and he definitely has a nice little resume there at Lake Ridge. I want to say he threw for, 2,000 yards last year? For another 1,000 or something like that. So it's not like we're talking about chopped liver. And people see that 2-star, 5-3 ranking, and they automatically think, you guys think he's terrible. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, he just needed to find the right fit. And that, in a lot of cases, and that's what that means. And he's a guy that can be successful, but he's going to have to get bigger. He's going to have to get stronger, and that's going to be a concern there. But he definitely has the potential.
Right. I think one of Duffy's biggest strengths right now is that he did commit to Tech, and I don't have to write a new quarterback offer story every week. So for the time being, that's what I'm happy about. We talk about the types of quarterbacks, and you mentioned, not your prototypical size, but about the right fit. And I think that even with a staff that's been here going on their third year, you've seen them recruit different types of quarterbacks in different classes, and sometimes – maybe it just bears out with experience. Maybe it's just kind of what's out there right now. As much as we've covered quarterbacks in the state, now we've learned about Duffy, and his story has kind of been told recently, but kind of curious to see what else is going to be going on around the state as well, because it's just one of those positions that just, garners a lot of attention. But I think you nailed it with the type. I mean, it's just been hard to nail down. You've got Mahomes that's, a taller version of Jet Duffy, but not as fast, not as, like you said, breakaway speed. So it'll be interesting to see what he can bring to the offense.
Absolutely. And he's a guy that if it doesn't work out at quarterback, you might see him at a different position. Of course, he doesn't want to hear that right now, and I'm sure Tech's not telling him that and probably doesn't have those kind of plans, but you never know. I mean, I remember when I first started back covering Baylor, when a kid named, John Childs was coming out of the same area, and everybody thought he was going to be a 5-star quarterback, and he turned into a receiver that was actually pretty good. And I think an all Big 12 player out there at Texas. So, I'm not saying he has that kind of potential at a different position, but he's definitely a guy that you could watch, and if it doesn't work out at quarterback, and if the depth chart does get stacked against him, he's a guy that has a little bit of the athleticism that it takes to transition to another spot if he needs to.
Right. And even for me, just watching what I've seen of him, I will say that as far as him in the pocket, with the ball in his hands, he seems to have a real good awareness of where he's at, where he needs to step up, where he needs to move around, and he seems to have a real good timing of when to get rid of a ball, which I think is one of the harder things to find in a lot of guys his age.
Absolutely. It's always good to see that awareness there, that mental clock, I guess.
Right. I guess too, just kind of, what are your just kind of thoughts on this quarterback class in the state of Texas this year? It just kind of seems to me, looking across the state, that this is one of the better years in the last couple of years to me.
Well, I don't. There's not like a guy that I would say.
You're right.
You know, like next year, you got Sean Robinson.
Yeah.
The year before, you had Jerod Hurd. And you had guys who were probably considered a little higher up there. This year, I think
right.
you got a bunch of guys like Shane Bouchel. You got Zach Smith. You got Jalen Hurts. You got Dylan Sterling Cole, who's really rising up the ranks. You got a lot of guys who are really good, but maybe not
an elite guy.
Number one stud, guy. Brennan Wooten. You got
right.
The kid Bowman Sells, who just committed to Houston. I mean, that's a great get for Houston. And that's a guy that you have a lot of guys right there together that are really close, and you could make a case one way or the other that one should be ranked above the other, So I'd say it's a really good, it's a good class with a lot of guys right there together.
And
you got a lot of similar styles. You got a lot of dual threat guys. Guys that run very prolific spread systems, it's definitely an interesting year. There's a lot of guys, and maybe not, just
right.
one big stud. So,
well, that's all I had, Jason. Man, I appreciate your time. Just wanted to wrap about these new recruits. I know you've seen thousands of kids across the country through the camp series, and that's finally over, and probably getting on to some campuses and doing some 7-on-7s next. I know you stay busy, but appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Jason.
All right, anytime.
See ya.
Once again, that was Rivals Mid-South analyst Jason Howell, and just like you said, Matt, we just wanted to get him on and kind of get his thoughts on these four guys. There's been four guys commit in the last 2 weeks or so. I think that was just kind of the point I was trying to get at with Jason. And I know you've seen a lot of these guys this spring, Matt, that there might not be like an elite guy, but I just feel like there's a ton of just like really, really solid quarterbacks in this class.
Yeah. And I think on average, there's a higher number. And I think what we've learned over the years is even regardless of ratings, this state produces quarterbacks, and I think it's because of the year-round approaches that have been going on for years. We touched on 7-on-7, but also just the amount of different and innovative offenses that Texas high school football coaches are putting in year after year. It was good for me just Jason listing all of those quarterbacks. I mean, that was like 10 kids if people realize that on the playback. I mean, and those are all D1 kids with multiple offers. And I wasn't joking. For about a month there, I was doing a new quarterback offer story for Texas Tech, and it started to kind of, the narrative there started to go all over the place because you got to get one, right? You didn't get one last year.
Yep.
And if your options go elsewhere or they run out, you've got to replenish. So, I'm glad they found their guy. We're going to learn a lot more about Jet here coming up. You and I will sync our calendars and hopefully get out to some games in Dallas like we were talking
for sure.
about, see Jet. See some of those other guys in that DFW area. But, really for me, on the surface of things, I do like the makeup. But what really stood out to me was the interviews with Level, the interviews that people had posted from YouTube. I just thought that, I interview a lot of kids both in person and over the phone. And, he just seems like a very competent young man. And he seems like he just kind of knows what he wants. And I know you got to talk to him as well. So I know you'll have your take, but for me, in a quarterback, you got to have that. You got to have that confidence. You got to have that purpose. And, no sugarcoating. That's just the kind of kid that he came across as.
No, for sure. And I think, like you said, the first time I talked to him was the day he had committed. And, like you said, we'd only known about it for about a week and a half, legitimately, before he committed. So, so I guess the kind of first time I talked to him, I just really thought that he comes off as genuinely confident about himself. I think there's a lot of guys across the high school football that try to carry the mantra of that alpha male and being an alpha male and all that mentality to that. And it's kind of a faux deal where those guys will say the right things because they're supposed to say it. But I think with Jed, it's a real deal. He says it all the time. He says, look, I committed to Tech because I want to be the guy that takes Tech to the next level, and I'm going to be the guy that leads this class, and I'm going to be the guy that does this and that. And you can just tell by the way he says it that he means it. And it's even with all these Elite 11 camps that he's gone out and won two of the three that he's participated in, you know, the one in Charlotte and the one in New Orleans are the two he won. And he said flat out, he said, I've gone to all these camps because I want to prove all these guys wrong and to show them that I think I'm the best quarterback in the country. So yeah, I love the mental makeup with him. And like I was kind of saying to Jason, I think he has a real innate ability that is hard to find as far as a guy at his age that knows when to climb the ladder in the pocket, knows when to move around, knows when to escape. But at the same time, he emphasizes that he wants to be a passer first and foremost, and running around is second option. Well, that's 1,100 yards is a hell of a lot of yards for a guy that he's just running as a second option, you know. So yeah, I mean, there's just a ton I absolutely love about him, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of covered that one pretty thoroughly and got to talk to Jason about it. I mean, don't want to leave out these other guys. We talked about Denley and we talked about Anton Cox Wesley. Those are two kids that, you know, Bryson, I've been in touch with him for a while because Tech
right,
offered
so
very
right.
early on, very early, I want to say after his sophomore season. And so I had actually caught up with him and the rest of his teammates. They came to Houston to play Katy. I think it was either the divisional or quarterfinal. But regardless, in the playoffs there this December, and they played Katy, it was a very good game, went into overtime. But Anton Cox Wesley, I think by now everybody's seen it. I mean, he made some
pretty big plays
in that game. And, you know, he's got to add weight. He's not a very, you know, hefty kid. But when I'm at these games or if I'm out of practice, you know, I'm always looking for kids that I don't know about, right? And you know, after the game was over, there's a gaggle of us reporters kind of, you wait your turn. To talk to the kids and whatnot. And then especially after the playoffs, you know, there's a lot of emotion involved. So there's a lot of time for us to chit-chat. And I started asking, you know, who's this kid? Who's this kid? I started getting more information. And then he came out and I got to meet with him. And, you know, he wasn't kidding me. He had nothing going on recruiting-wise. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to get in touch with Bryson. I'm going to try to create your, you know, recruiting profile. Because I just knew, I mean, he's a legitimate 6'4". He's got a great reach. And he just made some plays out there that were just, you know, will, determination, like big-time clutch plays in a game that was for all the marbles. So that's my one impression of him. I know there's a lot more to be told with that story, but it's my understanding that he's also a state qualifier for, like, a high jump or long jump, something like that. So
that's
definitely
right.
Definitely an athlete as well. But with Bryson, I think, you know, Jason told the story there that I'd mentioned to you guys, but he literally lines up half the time at running back, half the time in the slot already. So he's used to lining up at receiver. He's used to the motion. He's used to kind of mixing and matching. And I think that that's, you know, that's something good to have when you're calling the offense, and it's good to have that versatility. And then he'd also mentioned playing some special teams, which he does now. So just another good group of athletes from Cibola Steel, and now you're, you know, if both these kids sign, you're going to have four total.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say that whole Mike Jinks thing is working out pretty well.
For sure. Absolutely. I think, I mean, there's no way you can say it hasn't worked out well between the production from his running backs, who he's gotten to sign, both from Cibola and then some of the other guys he's gotten to commit. I think you're nothing but ecstatic about what you've gotten from Mike Jinks so far. And he's proved his worth, and I think it says a lot that Cliff's already named him the associate head coach. And obviously, as a guy that, you know, has won state titles at the high school level, he knows a thing or two about what running a program. And you might not agree that he knows how to run a college program, but I think guys know how to lead, regardless of what level it's at. So yeah, things are going great so far there, and good to get these four commits over the last 2 weeks or so. So I guess now just kind of real shortly, you know, we kind of wanted to talk about, you know, here lately what's kind of going on and maybe what's going on the next couple of weeks. So first off, man, I just kind of wanted to ask you about just kind of going out to some of these campuses. And I know you've gone out to see a lot of kids during spring ball and get a look at some of these kids. So I guess both talking to some of these prospects and then seeing on practice, I guess, who are just a couple of kids off the top of your head that might stick out to you? And I guess what have your kind of thoughts been?
Started things off at Hightower, and I saw a number of kids there. But you know, the one kid that I always mention is my guy Michael Johnson, the defensive end.
Yeah.
He's held Tech offer for a while. He does have a lot of schools coming in. I feel like he's coming back from an injury, and you know, when he had injured his knee after his sophomore season, and he got back healthy, and you know, you're just not 100% right away, kind of like a DeAndre Washington situation. And I think, I mean, I saw him in practice. I mean, he was getting after it, and he looked really good. And I'd mentioned to his coach, I said, he looks like he's got that speed back. And so I really think his recruitment might blow up, whether it's this spring or later this summer. I know that's a kid that said he wants to make his commitment, and maybe that timing that we always talk about where Tech was in there early and, you know, Tech has been talking and building that relationship. We'll see if it kind of pans out. But, you know, watch out for some of these other Big 12 schools and some of these other regional schools. Mm-hmm. If the right offer comes in, you know, you got to go to a different plan there. But he looked really good, and I know that he is taking a trip out to Tech on June 18th. All of those are always tentative, but, you know, we'll see. I think that that's going to be you know, a good weekend for recruits and visits. So we'll see how the rest of kind of June plays out once these kids get out of school and can make the car trip up to Lubbock for a few days. From there, I went over. Sticking in Fort Bend, I went over. I did see Ross Blacklock. You know, the coach cut practice a little short. I didn't get to see him in action per se, but Elkins is who I've been around a lot. He just looks like he, you know, grew a bit into his body over the summer. But definitely a good-looking prospect, you know, passes the eye test. Kind of a shy kid, as you can tell from the video. But, you know, Giles is definitely working that angle. And you'll just have to kind of see what some of his preferences are once he starts taking visits. But that's another kid that's coming June 18th. So, again, good weekend for recruiting. Let's see. I mean, where else have I been? Oh, I got to see Gio Pancotti. He's not only reminded me of Spicoli, but he also pretty much ran the interview. I didn't have to say much, so that was good. But, no, I mean, this is a kid that his coach even told me. He's like, that's how he is all the time. He's leading the conversation.
Yeah.
He, you know, is not a stranger to anyone. So, you know, I could definitely see a little Connor Dyer in him. And just some of the quirkiness and some of the, you know, I don't give a you-know-what attitude. But when he got on the field, I mean, he was a leader. You know, he takes that pretty seriously, and he was, you know, pretty much just getting after it. I think that, you know, he's got some growing to do, just like a lot of these prospects do when they come from high school to college. But I think a redshirt will do him very well. And you know, he was playing some right tackle. I don't know, I remember exactly where the coaches kind of project him to, but I think he might even be playing some guard at the next level, possibly.
Yeah.
So just a kid that plays a little bit of both, but. I mean, it was fun hanging around him and getting to be over at that practice as well. I'm just kind of blanking on my memory here. I know I've been to some others, and I know I got out to that East Texas camp. That was a lot of the underclassmen. I can't tell you that 2017 offer to the wide receiver Damian Miller out of John Tyler, that's a great offer. I mean, this kid already looks like way better than some of the seniors that were there. Just from a route running standpoint, athletic standpoint, and really just confidence too, not a cockiness, but a confidence. I mean, we were here at this facility, right? That's beautiful and brand new, but they decided to have everything on premise. We didn't go to an actual football field. So they had a metal fence around like a 25 yard, give or take with the end zones, patch of turf. Right. And so they're running, they're running go routes, they're running all this stuff. I mean, these kids are whacking into the fence. It was a little bit of a wild scene, but, you know, they were asking us for our votes, and I said, oh, man, you know, Damien's got to be the MVP by far. But they ended up giving it to another kid, actually his teammate, that it was a combine, too, so it was all about test scores as well. But anyway, long story short, he's legitimate. And, I don't know, you know, I got to see Bronson Massey, but, again, these were more combine, you know, athletic performance.
Right. For sure.
And what I mean by that is this wasn't like a football coach teaching you defensive line, offensive line drills. They basically lined them up in front of one another and said, go. And I was like, well, hey, guys, why don't you move these cones? Why don't you let us? Because you look at Bronson Massey, well, he's not going to bull rush anybody. You know, he's an edge rusher. And so it wasn't really set up for that. So I didn't get to see a whole heck of a lot of him. Man, I don't remember where else I've been. I did go out to North Shore, but it was like a monsoon, so we really just got to talk to Eric Monroe. He did mention that Texas Tech has been by. I don't think they're a player at all, but you know, there's place that I've been. If I think of anyone else, I'll tell you. But I try everywhere.
Cool. I try to
throw it out there. The only other kid that I guess I remember is posted about Jeremy West. I really do think that could be another situation where he comes and camps with Tech in Longview, and the whole coaches get to see him in action. They're recruiting that defensive tackle. I could see it. I did kind of say the drills weren't that great, but the competition was good. I mean, these kids were
after it.
And, you know, Jeremy West really did lead the charge there. And at 6'3", 300 pounds, he's got the same measurables as a lot of these national recruits. I just don't know if he has the same exposure, right, or the same athleticism, right? But in the big picture, when you're trying to add depth like Tech is, you go wrong with a kid like Jeremy West, in my opinion. And speaking of being out there in East Texas, when I mentioned Broderick Washington as a comparison or as, you know, something that they've done previously, I just got tons of praise for Broderick. I mean, everybody out there loves him and just thinks the world of him. And I only mention that because he's very soft-spoken and doesn't really give a whole lot away in interviews. So a lot of good reviews on him, and I think that about puts a cap on it, man. I know I've been rambling, but
I just can't
think of, you know, every
You're
single
good.
Other
oh,
place.
Yeah. Well, hey man, I understand you go out and do that all the time, and I know from going out for a day or two, and I start getting confused of who's who and who's whatever. So, yeah, props to you, man, for even being able to come up with like seven off the top of your head, because I probably would have come up with two and then been like, well, this kid, yeah, sure, maybe who's up? Blip. Yeah, that's how it goes with me. So, but yeah, I mean, I know too. You know, you've been. Speaking of, you know, all these new offers and all this kind of stuff that's going on, I know there have been a boatload of defensive offers go out over the last 2-3 weeks, especially on the defensive line and that a couple at linebacker. But, yeah, I guess, you know, we just kind of want to talk about that because I can't remember who you talked to, but somebody said something about Tech maybe taking 5 defensive linemen. So who did you talk to that said that?
That actually was Jeremy West, who I was just talking about.
Right.
He said that
okay.
The coaches told him they're taking 5 defensive tackles in this class and that, you know, he could be one of them. So I really do think that's a situation where they're going to wait for all the coaches to see him at that camp and then go from there.
Right. Yeah, and something about all these defensive offers that have gone out, and I know everybody's now worried about only having one defensive commit, and, you know, that he obviously only committed a couple weeks ago, but – at the same time, I think with Coach Gibbs, I think this is kind of how things were going to go as far as defensive commits and defensive offers, where they all kind of got out during this evaluation period and they saw a ton of guys that they already kind of knew about and they confirmed a lot of things, and that's why all these offers started going out. So I think now is when they're going to start building a lot of these relationships, because I know from you and I and Drew talking to a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of them said, hey, you know, I've only been talking to, you know, the Tech coaches for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And really, we just kind of started talking when I got offered. So I think there's a lot of these guys that just offered that they'll build relationships with over the next couple weeks and next couple months. And I know a lot of these guys, even though they have an offer, are talking about going out to Tech camps and hanging out and maybe even participating. So I think you'll see a lot of movement with defensive commits here in the next month, 2 months. Over the summer, so that's kind of what I think, Matt.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's going to be like that. I think that, I guess the one thing I'll add in is, you know, now that I'm covering other teams and it's not Tech specific, I'll tell you this, you know, every team that goes through a coaching change on the defensive side of the ball or offensive side of the ball, you know, there is that, you know, break in communication or that change of the guard. And, you know, the Tech coaches aren't the only coaches that are either – I hate to say the word behind, but doing their own thing, taking their own direction when it comes to recruiting, because I think these guys are on the road. They are kind of fostering those relationships, as you'd mentioned. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, time before some of these other ones. You even kind of look back at a guy like a Houston Miller who's visited now, or a guy like a Braden Stringer who's visited now. Those guys are all kind of one step closer. Yeah, you know, they're kind of one step closer to actually knowing more about the opportunity and building those relationships with the coaches. So those are your maybes, and those are, you know, some of the ones that you look for possibly these next defensive commits, they're the maybes, right? But, I mean, even as I mentioned, those two guys that are coming June 18th, I mean, those are huge. If you add, if you were to add a Ross Blacklock and a Michael Johnson, I mean, you're adding serious defensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, that's why I say, you said the same thing about the quarterbacks. Go ahead and look around the state. I mean, I haven't tracked this kid down yet, but they're even looking at this other kid in Houston at Yates. And I know that all defensive linemen aren't created equal, but give me a bunch of kids that are 6'3", 290, you know, and I'm pretty sure Gibbs can make it work. I mean, his whole philosophy is just the gap integrity and let the defensive system work, you know, let players make plays. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they do that. Let's just take all the names out of it. You add five defensive tackles, I mean, pretty damn good too. So I'll be interested to see how all this comes together.
Yeah, and I think a guy that kind of fits this mold of what we're kind of talking about as far as kind of wait and see what to see about a guy, the guy I'm thinking of is Andrew Fitzgerald. He plays at your alma mater, actually, at good old Flower Mound Marcus out there. Or I guess Flower Mound. Which one is it?
That's right, baby.
You're going to kill
Flower
me.
Mound Marcus. It's
okay.
Flower Mound
Marcus. I was going to say, you're going to kill me if I get it wrong. I figured that. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I got to talk to Coach Smith a little bit, and I know whenever we were doing an interview, and just from what I know about him as a prospect, he's a guy they were kind of waiting on to see what he kind of developed into over the last 7-8 months, and they got to go see him again, and he'd grown a couple inches and put on some pounds, and they felt good about offering at that point. So I think that's kind of what's going on with a lot of these guys too, because you just got to remember, a lot of these guys are 16, 17 years old and still haven't developed into what you want for a defensive lineman yet.
No doubt. No doubt. And I just think, you know, that's why I say forget about the names or the rankings. Like, just get this depth in there. Get these guys in there so that they can start working with the coaches and see what they can do. I mean, it's all the great unknown right now. We still got to get to the football season and see what these coaches do with what they've got. But just knowing that they're trying to add five defensive tackles, you know, does warm the heart a little bit, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think you feel good about the numbers they're trying to add. And like I said, the number of offers that have gone out, because I know, you know, 2 months ago, everybody was worried that, you know, Tech was just going to sit on their thumbs and just kind of not do anything. But, I mean, like I said, there's been however many more than a dozen offers go out in the defensive line in the last 5-6 weeks, so they know what they need and they know what they want. So I think things are headed in the right direction as far as that. And now it's just about building the relationships and closing things out. But anyway, you know, that's all I wanted to go over tonight. I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to go over, Matt. But if there is, you have the floor, my friend.
You know what? I'm just gonna quit while we're ahead. Well, we hadn't done one of these in a while, so you know, a few things here or there we can fix, but we got to start doing these more often, and hopefully we'll get to do that. You're probably about what, like a month away from your tour of Texas with all the Tech camps.
Hey, baby, I think I'm 3 weeks away, and that's my time to shine. That's my favorite. I'm going to be honest, for a lot of people that don't know, the satellite camp tour, it's, don't get me wrong, I mean, it's a tough week as far as just go, but that's my favorite week of the year, where I just get to go out and just see a whole bunch of kids just run through camps and basically kind of just get to be a talent evaluator and just kind of, you know, figure out what I think about kids and just kind of do what I know you get to do a lot more than me and just kind of see kids go through things. But definitely my favorite month of the year. And it's always fun going out there and seeing a lot of prospects that, you know, you may not know about. And even the Tech coaches might not know about. They just signed up for their camp. And you see a kid show out, and then next thing you know, he's got 7 or 8 offers, you know, 2 or 3 months from then. So that's kind of the funnest thing for me. I know you enjoy that a lot, too, about getting to see guys go out.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, and just the emphasis on these camps alone in the past 2 years, I feel like you should add some sort of, like, you know, Wills Under the Radar, Underclassmen of the Day or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what if last year, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Will probably watched Jet Duffy run around last year, and he was probably like 5'10", 170 pounds, so, you know, why bother, right? I mean, I know the feeling, but you know what I mean? But now all these underclassmen and all these other kids are stopping by. I mean, always a lot of great updates from those. So you know, different seasons kind of approaching, as we always talk about here in recruiting. But you know, I think a good overall strong podcast will end it there, and then hopefully next week we can get into some more visitors and possibly talk about what's next with the 2016 class.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much, guys, for listening. Once again, this is the Victory Bells Podcast. I'm Will McKay, and he's Matt Claire. Hope you guys have a great week and a great weekend.